He said, when I get up here, the time belongs to me. Words to that effect. My watch is 8 o'clock. And I assure you that I let you out before 9. Maybe just 1 minute till 9. If I go so long till any of you can't stand it, be free to quietly take your leave, but come back tomorrow night and get some more, all you can take. The greatest institution in the world is the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are over 300 denominations in the United States. And every one of them was started by some man or group of men except one. The one Jesus built. And I want to talk about the one that he built. I belonged to one of the others for a few years, about 8. I know what it means to be on that side of the subject. I'll introduce my series of lectures by reading 2 brief passages. In Matthew chapter 16, I'll read a few verses, beginning at verse 13. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And this I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Turn now to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 13. I'll read verse 15. I'll read verses 15 and 16. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth." So, when we talk about the church, it's a house, the house of God. The two seem to be used interchangeably. The house of God, not this building, it's a church that meets in it. And I'll begin my message tonight, and most of the time, if not all of it, will be spent on John the Baptist, as the forerunner of Christ, whose mission into the world was to prepare the way of the Lord before him. John was promised in answer to prayer. He was born into the world, and I want to read from the book of Isaiah, just a verse or two, in Isaiah chapter 40. I'll get to it presently. Well, I thought I had it marked. All right. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord, for every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So John was prophesied some 700 years before he came into the world as being one who would be the voice crying into the wilderness, heralding the way for the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. So, with that prophecy of John, we want to note its fulfillment. Now, turn now to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 1, and there read a verse or two. I'll begin at verse 10. And when the multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense, there appeared unto him an angel, and this was Gabriel, the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled for fear and fell unto him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He wasn't named John the Baptist. He wasn't named John Zacharias. His name was John. God gave him that name. So we'll have use for that statement a little bit later on. I want to talk about Zacharias and Elizabeth just a minute. Zacharias was of the tribe of Levi. And so was Elizabeth of the lineage of Aaron. And there were 24 orders of the priesthood. Each one of these served for a specified length of time. Zechariah's period of time to serve at the altar as the priest of the synagogue was that of the order of Abia. And the beginning of the work of John for the preparation of the church was a Holy Ghost moved affair. Pardon me. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll note the verses that this is in. In Luke chapter 1, we read that Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's in verse 67. Luke 1, 67. And in Luke 1, 41, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in Luke 1:15, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He was a Nazarene. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So the very beginning of the church was definitely backed up by the Holy Ghost. The father of John was filled with the Holy Ghost. The mother of John was filled with the Holy Ghost. And John himself was filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of thought that John was Elijah. He was not Elijah in person. I turn to the book of Malachi and read in the 4th chapter, verses 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. This is prophetic. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of their children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Malachi prophesied that Elijah was to come. And he is. But he's going to come before the great and the terrible day of the Lord, during the time of the tribulation, when Elijah really is going to come. But John the Baptist came not as Elijah in person. Now turn to John chapter 1 and read a verse or two. Beginning at verse, I believe, I have a note here, verse 19. John 1, 19. Now I have it. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed that I am not Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said unto him, Who art thou? That we might give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as it said of the prophet. And we also read that he... He'll come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. There's a lot of difference in being in the spirit and in the power of one and being the person himself. So John came in the spirit of Elijah and in the same power that Elijah had, but he was not Elijah in person, as he himself plainly said. I want to note another thing. What Zacharias had to say about John and his mission into the world. Bear with me a minute. I don't know why I'm choking up. I never did that before. I don't think. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76, after John was born, was carried to the temple, and there he was conformed to the ceremonies of the Jews, the circumcision and so on. And Zacharias made this address, beginning at verse 76, Luke 1, 76. And thou child, I want to get a picture of this. Here's an 8-day-old baby that's born to fulfill prophecy. Born to Zacharias and Elizabeth in order to fulfill his mission in answer to prayer. He's 8 days old, and his father's making a speech to him. And here's what he said. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Through the tender mercy visit us." Now listen. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our way and feet in the way of peace." So that's what Zacharias had to say about John's mission into the world. And in John 1 and verse 29, we read a very positive action of John. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then in John 1, 31 and to 34, I want to read. Sit it down. I may drink it, but seldom ever do. John tells something of why he came into the world. Zacharias has said why he came in the speech that I've just read. Here's what John has to say. "The next day," I read that, John 1:30, talking about Jesus. "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, before he is before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that he is the Son of God." Now in verse 30, John said, "I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing." Well, how is he going to manifest Jesus to Israel? By baptizing. What is baptism? Baptism is a picture or a portrayal of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John's mission was to baptize for the benefit of the Jews. And when they saw John take a candidate into the water, put him under the water, and raise him up, even then, from the beginning of his baptizing, he was telling the Jews that Jesus Christ was the Savior of men by shadowing his actual appearing, death, burial, and resurrection by baptism. And in verse 32, John definitely declares that the Lord sent him into the world to baptize. So John was a missionary sent by the God of heaven into the world to baptize people. And his baptism was God-ordained It was good enough for Jesus Christ, as we'll learn a little bit later on. You know, there are people in the world that say it's not Christian baptism. Beloved, anything is good enough for Jesus Christ, good enough for me. And I think the same kind of baptism John administered, the same kind the pastor takes a candidate into that baptistry to immerse or bury with the Lord in baptism. Now I want to come to John's ministry. In Matthew chapter 3, where John begins his ministry in the world, I hope that I've been able to set forth what Zechariah said he came into the world to do, what John said he came to do, and what he said the Lord sent him into the world to do. And with all of this behind us, his ministry begins, and I'll deal with Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I've already established from Luke and John, John 1:13, that Elizabeth was to bear a son and call his name John. Well, when he was born, old Zacharias had wanted proof of the fact that John was to be born to him and Elizabeth in their old age. And Gabriel said, "All right, you won't say a word till he's born." He struck him dumb. And when he could talk, he'd know that the baby's born. When he's able to talk, that this is he. Well, they gathered around the baby and they wanted to call him Zacharias Jr. And his mother said, "No, that's not his name." Said his name's John. And they said, "Nobody in your folks is named John." They finally decided they'd ask his daddy, his father, what his name was. And old Zacharias couldn't talk, but he said, "Give me a piece of paper and a pencil." And he wrote down, "His name is John." And he could talk. So his name wasn't John the Baptist. His name was John. And nothing but John. And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching. Well, John was his name, and the statement, "the Baptist," qualified Baptist, qualified by the definite article, the Baptist, he is the only one in the world. But he was John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist doing? He was preaching. Well, I don't know. I never have thought I was very smart. But I've studied grammar. And if I know anything about the meaning of language, John the Baptist preaching would mean that John was a Baptist preacher. I don't know any other way in the world, and I'm not kidding, and I'm not casting aspersions against anybody. I'm talking what I can't see anything else in. His name was John. He was a Baptist, and he was preaching. So I conclude that John was a Baptist preacher. And his mission into the world was to prepare the way of the Lord before him, prepare the material of which the Lord would build his house, spiritual house. John baptized only those who repented of their sins. And in this same chapter, we read where some folks came to him, and it seemed to be popular, said all Jerusalem and Judea went out to the Jordan River, where he's baptizing, and they said, what about baptizing us? And in this same chapter, John said to these folks, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Give me evidence you've repented. That is his message. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then he says, they actually laid at the tree, and that every tree didn't bring forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. And verse 11 in Matthew chapter 1 is very important. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and in fire, with fire. I call attention to one thing beside my subject. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I baptize with water unto repentance. That's that same little word, ace, that's used in Acts 2:38, and used in the same identical condition. And this said he's going to baptize them unto repentance. Well, there has to be something ahead before he can go unto it. You couldn't go unto nothing. So, they had already repented before they were baptized. And he baptized them unto repentance, and later on we'll come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost when we deal with the day of Pentecost. I think the highlight of John's baptizing is in this chapter. And I begin to read now at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Don't you know it meant something to John to baptize the Lord? I want to deal with that just a minute. He didn't baptize him in order to have his sins remitted. He didn't have any sins. He is baptized unto righteousness. Well, baptism is a good work. It's a righteous act. And when he did a righteous act, when he baptized him. And after the Lord was baptized, in verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending and like a dove and lighting upon him. The voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Who baptized? John the Baptist preacher. If any of you Baptist preachers ever baptize anybody except you expect you to baptize a Baptist, I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not mean about this, I believe this, I believe the book teaches, that John was a Baptist preacher, and that a Baptist preacher baptized Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ, going to John, the Baptist preacher that his father had sent into the world and baptized, by all of the evidence of this book, that Jesus Christ was a Baptist. And I believe that every disciple that John made and baptized were Baptists. They were not called Baptists. They were called many other things besides Baptists. Now, I've got to move along in order to get through in time limited. Now, I want to talk about something else concerning John. John's humility and loyalty to Christ. They came to him and asked him if he is that prophet. He said, no. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But in John chapter 3, I want to read, beginning at verse 28. John 3, 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Listen, he must increase, and I must decrease. How many of you young preachers want somebody to increase, and because they increase, you decrease? John said he's greater than I. So much so that I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. What loyalty, fidelity to the trust committed to him when talking about the Lord, bridegroom as the bride, friend of the bridegroom, John, was satisfied to hear his voice and be there. And said, he must increase, and I must decrease. Beginning with chapter 4 in Matthew, and I'll deal with this tomorrow night. But as quickly as Jesus entered into his ministry, John began to fade into less popularity. He decreased and the Lord increased. The vast multitudes who had flocked to hear John no longer do that. They go to hear the Lord. And John had no complaint about it. For he was his Lord as well as the Lord of all of the others. Now I want to note briefly something of the Lord's testimony of John. We've had what Zechariah said. We had what John said. In Matthew chapter 11, I want to read just a few verses. Beginning at verse 7, Matthew 11, 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken of the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So the law and the prophets were until John. And Jesus said, Men that are born of women, there is none greater than John. Men that are born mean that they had already been born. Not anyone in the Old Testament, from Adam to Zacharias, was greater than John. Moses and Elijah and all of them. He said, there are none greater than John. There is no evidence in the Bible that John the Baptist himself was ever baptized. There is no evidence in the Bible that John the Baptist ever belonged to the church. He was the forerunner of the Lord, had the authority from God to administer baptism. His mission was to make and baptize disciples that the Lord would use in constituting his church. And this he did a very, very good job of. Now on a note, John's death. And we'll read this in Matthew chapter 14. And I've noted from verses 1 to 10, but I'll not read all of that. In Matthew chapter 14, and I'll begin to read at verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, her name was Drusilla. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him a prophet. Then they had that big celebration. The girl danced before Herod. He said, Whatever you ask of me, I'll give it to you. Lord knows, she must have had what they called. And when Herod watched her dance, and he said, I'll give you anything in the world, you want a half of the kingdom. Said, just ask it. She ran downstairs and said, Mommy, from anything in the world, I'll ask. What'll I ask? That was Drusilla. Said, ask for John the Baptist's head on a charger. She went back up there and said, I want John the Baptist's head on the charger, brought in. Herod didn't want to kill him, but he had said king's words for the law, and he said he'd give you half of it. So he beheaded John the Baptist. And then when they asked him, and I have my original text in Matthew 16, some said he's John the Baptist, but they thought he'd come back. Now I want to close with John's message. John the Baptist preached Baptist doctrine. If I know Baptist doctrine, and I have experienced it. In Matthew chapter 3, he definitely tells the people, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message Jesus preached. And note this difference. That was the doctrine that was preached until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the gospel of grace is preached, not the gospel of the kingdom. But I made a discovery after I'd been preaching 50 years that I didn't know was in the Bible about what John preached. In John chapter 3, we have a story that begins at verse 25. And I'm not going to read all this, but I want to introduce it. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, or beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Note now, beginning in John 3:25, to the end of that chapter, all of it is John the Baptist. There's no change from what John has to say. And John goes on in the end of the chapter, verse 33, he that hath received the testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the spirit of the message, for God giveth not the message, spirit, message by the Spirit unto him. Now listen. Here's what it says. He that believeth on him, or on the Son, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the Spirit of God abideth on him. That is John the Baptist. Now what did John preach? John preached repentance toward God for sins. And John preached belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's faith. So John's message was definitely a message of repentance and faith. And as a result of his ministry, a great number of disciples were made. They had heard John preach, repent and believe. They came forth as evidence that they had repented and believed, and John baptized them by the authority of God that sent him into the world. Then he baptized Jesus Christ. Christ was to be the head over all things to the church. And the head of the church is baptized by John the Baptist. The disciples that John made were baptized by John. So, he who was to constitute the church, be its founder, head, and lawgiver, had God authorized baptism through John, the Essenian preacher. So all of the disciples had the same thing. And when John's ministry was finished, he had been martyred. Jesus is in his ministry. He takes this material that John has prepared and constitutes it into his church. We read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, For there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God who is Father over all. And we read in more than one place, Colossians 1:16 and Ephesians, I believe, 1:22, that Christ is the head of the church, His body. The church that Jesus organized is His body. And it's made out of the same kind of material, by the same kind of a preacher, and they have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ in their conversion. God projects His nature into them, and they are within themselves eternally saved because they have the nature of God in them, and that cannot sin. So John's mission was finished, and I close with this. You go back into the Scriptures in the time of Moses. There have been three periods in the history of the world of 2,000 years. There were 2,000 years without the law. God, through Moses, gave the law. There's 2,000 years of the law. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to all who believe. He took the handwriting of ordinance against us out of the way and nailed it to the cross. The law and the prophets preached unto John. As Moses was the pivot upon which was turned from the 2,000 years without the law to the period of 2,000 years under the law, John the Baptist is the pivot upon which we swing from the 2,000 years of the law, and we are now to within 20 years of the 2,000 years of grace. No man was ever given a greater task than John the Baptist to bring the Judaistic system of worship to a close. It's finished. That made him very unpopular with the Jews. And to usher in the new dispensation from law to grace. He stood up under it like General Haig did the other day, and they're trying to get him out of being nominated or confirmed as Secretary of State. They'd have done anything in the world to John. And for that reason, how would you feel toward some fellow that come in here, if I came in here tomorrow night and say, all right, folks, all of you Baptists, you fulfilled your mission, your time spent, we're going to start on a new religion today. Why, shucks, I'd have to ride a plane out of here ahead of the ticket schedule. Well, that's what John had to do with the Jews. Can you imagine that bunch of Jews, as ticklers as they were for the law and the prophets? John, come up here and tell them now your mission's fulfilled. Your religion's come to an end. We're going to have a new one. Well, that's what John the Baptist is up against. One church in the world that Jesus built. Do you belong to it? Listen, people. All of the promises that are ecclesiastical, that are in this book, are to the one that Jesus built. There's not one promise in this book for religious establishments that men start. Find it if you can. Tell me you found it. It isn't there. No one on earth will know what it means to belong to something. I'm not going to tear this thing up like I did last night. Now I got it. To belong to a church that you finally decide is not the right one. I had that experience. I never was so burdened. My membership was in a church that believed Franklin was Baptist. And I'm going to tell this experience. Am I crowding the time? When I joined the Methodist Church, there's 36 of us little old kids. They had us all lined up on a bench across the aisle and one down the Amen corner on both sides. Had us to kneel down on both knees and put her hand down on the bench and put her little old head down on her hands. And I cut one eye around to see what the preachers are doing. I'm not lying about that, I did. He had one little glass of water. And I watched him baptize some of the kids before he got to me, and he put his fingers in there like that. What water would stay on his fingers, he'd kind of flip it and get a few drops on the head and rub it. Called by a Christian name, Conrad Nathan is my name, said, Conrad Nathan, he got to me, I baptize you, and so on. I'm honest. When he did that, I knew enough about it to know that Jesus was baptized in the river. And I doubted whether that man baptized me then. And I know now he didn't. And in 4 years after that, I was saved. I wasn't saved then. When I was saved, I wanted to be baptized. But I didn't want a little water sprinkled on my head rubbed. I wanted to go to the river. My dad was a bias steward in that church. And I was a timid boy, believe it or not. I spent 4 years trying to get up courage enough to tell my father that I wanted to join the Baptist Church and be baptized. And I didn't do that till I was 18 years old. Listen, people. You'll never know the joy that I knew the day that old brother Jim Kelly took me in Saline River and baptized me into the fellowship of Harmony Baptist Church in Prattville, Arkansas. I could have sung, Oh Happy Day. I had what I believe that book teaches. And I belonged then to what I believe was the church that Jesus built. And I've never had any doubts about it since. None whatever. Be sure in your own convictions. Satisfy your convictions in the light of God that you belong to the church that Jesus built and honors. I don't tell you to join the Baptist Church. I did, and I'm satisfied with it. But I'm telling you to find out for yourself by examining that book. And if it don't lead you to what I am, I'll be surprised. It led me there. And I think it led a lot of other people there. So, know who you have believed. Make your peace call and election sure. And when you're sure you've been saved, be sure you have scriptural baptism and belong to the right church. And do it with a good conscience in the light of what that book teaches. Now, while we're standing saying, if anybody wants to join with the church, that I believe with all my heart is a branch of the one I'm talking about, come for membership in this church tonight. Would you do it while we're standing and sing a verse or two?
61.
I'm going to ask the pastor to stand here. And if you come, come to him, and he'll listen to your plea.